Well, let me take you back. About 22 years ago, me and my wife were about to be married. And it's a couple weeks before this, okay? And she's at OCAD, the Ontario College of Art and Design, doing a degree in photography. And she's has this kind of final show gallery. And she's got pictures all on the walls. And it's beautiful art. And people are going around. Some people come up in the gallery and say, hey, we want your work. And at some point, some people come up from television. They're from fashion TV. And she's looking beautiful. And she's just, you know, on her top of her game, and they come to her and they say, we would like to have you come on our TV show. And I was like, yeah, you did it. Like, this is awesome, right? And so they start talking about it, and she's kind of excited. This is awesome. And then they finally say, okay, well, we need to come in at this date and this time, because this is when we're shooting this stuff. And she's like, well, no, I can't do that. And she's like, they were like, why? And she's like, well, I'm on my honeymoon during that week. They're like, well, this is the only time we have to do this stuff. And I'm like, babe, like, that's okay. We can go to Cuba another time. Like, because I'm just like thinking, like, you're going to be famous on fashion TV and do all this stuff, right? And she, I learned something from her that day. She was like, no, this is the most important thing in my life, and I'm not going to ruin it for TV kind of thing, right? She didn't say that to them, but that was kind of what she said to me afterwards. And I was like, it kind of made me think differently. I was reeling a little bit from this, because in my own life, you know, the idea of getting your work out there and getting it published and getting a big name, like, that means something, doesn't it? Like, babe, you could become a famous photographer. And that wasn't on her heart. And that kind of hit me in terms of what's going on in my heart and what's going on in our culture's heart, that we would actually not get priorities right and see what's actually important in life. And what's all kind of just smokes and mirrors and celebrity grasp at fame and flashes in the mirror of Instagram influencers and this whole thing that has arisen since then. But she already could kind of sense it. Yeah, the TV thing is not going to be that big of a deal compared to me starting my life with my husband and eventually the four kids that we have, right? And that reminds me, because we all want to be stars, don't we, in this present day? Or a lot of us do. Our culture seems to make it so that you want to shine your star. You want to get more than your 15 minutes of fame, right? You want to get your 1 million likes to start. It reminded me, because, you know, I was in that place where I was going and I was doing my thing, and I was trying to become a theologian, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll be a superstar pastor, a famous academic theologian. But that's for God to decide, right? Not me. That's not for my heart to pursue. That's not something I should ever be chasing. I think this is a problem, especially in our church culture today. We've allowed the world to infect us with this need for celebrity over celibacy. Name recognition over letting our lives give Jesus' name recognition. Here in the GTA and the GTHA or whatever we call it here, right? We're especially, you know, some famous connections in the church circles. I mean, we know it especially here in the BIC, right? But people like Ravi, their names get really big stars and then fall, right? And people start looking at the church and going like, oh. It's not for us to decide why someone's famous or not famous, why someone's name gets big or doesn't get big. We're definitely not here to try to build up our name, not even build up the name of our church, right? We're here to build up the name of Jesus. So I start to think about the spiritual reality. One of these things I realize is that the most amazing thing about this faith that we call the Jesus movement, Christianity, whatever you want to call it, the most important thing about it is all the millions of quiet lives led by regular people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, just going about their daily lives in the power of Jesus and helping show his name. That's what makes the church strong. We get attracted to the big names, but we need to celebrate the thousands of you who are actually building up the kingdom of God. And by God's grace, I pray that we are all one of those people. that we would make that our ambition. And so I want to read 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 9. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do more and more. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. So Westside, may I challenge you not to require big worldwide things of yourselves. Now, I'm not saying don't dream big, okay? Some of you are given big dreams by God. What I'm trying to say is, yeah, dream the dreams that God has given to you. For some, it's going to be big, right? Some are going to be a Moses or a Paul. But a lot of us, more of us, are going to be the people who dug the holes for the poles of the tabernacle and are just as important and called by God as Moses. Not everyone's going to be famous, but everyone will be important and part of the gracious plan of God. Notice the context it starts off with here, by the way. It's a call to brotherly and sisterly love. This idea of love each other. He's like, I know you love each other. You're kind of famous for it, but do so more and more and more. Like, loving each other, this is the key. They were taught by God. They were shown how to love each other through the Holy Spirit of God. And so part of this is the whole call of this ambition to lead a quiet life is in love so that we can love each other in this context. There's also what I'll call an eschatological context. Eschatology means like the last times or just kind of the end days. The fun stuff, the Revelation stuff, like when's the Antichrist and all, you know, all the stuff that gets really popular on TV and stuff. But they have an eschatological issue they're dealing with, which is some of them are really afraid about the people who've died because they're expecting Jesus to come back. And like, what's going to happen to these people, right? Oh no, my dead uncle, what am I going to do? And then the other part was some of the people were so expecting Jesus to come back that they were just kind of like, all right, let's just sit back and wait for Jesus to come back. He's coming back soon, so I'm just going to stop working. I'm going to lounge on my lounge chair, you know, just kick back and wait for Jesus to come. And Paul's saying, this isn't good. You need to be careful. Jesus is coming back, but until that day comes, you need to be doing your part for the kingdom of God. So this is the context where these false teachers are trying to, you know, have them operate in wrong ways. And so Paul is trying to make it really clear. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Now, first of all, that word ambition for Christians is like, ooh, isn't that a swear word? Like, I don't have any ambitions, right? Isn't that interesting? No. You have to have an ambition. You have a will. A will is the part of you that the free thing that God gave you that decides what to do or not to do. So your will wants to do things. Ambition is like, what do you want to do? So make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, not a life centered on self. Don't have a self ambition. Have a Christ ambition, a Jesus ambition. And then you'll be operating as a holistic human being because you were given this will to give it to God back. The gift he gives to you, give back to him. Make your ambition to lead a quiet life for Jesus. Mind your own business and work with your hands. I love this mind your own business, right? When I was a kid, I was like, mind your own beeswax. I'm like, I don't have any beeswax. I don't know. Whatever, don't be looking at other people's wax no matter what you're doing. Right? I don't know exactly what that means. But this idea of like, just stay in your own lane, right? Mind your own business. Don't get all up in other people's faces. Don't be trying to figure out what's going on. You see what's going on with so-and-so, right? This whole idea of our gossip culture that we have It feeds, doesn't the gossip culture just feed with the celebrity culture I was talking about? They're just like, they're married at the hip. I want to know what's going on. Don't worry about that. Mind your own business. Work with your hands. Now, work with your hands. I don't think he's saying, like, the only acceptable work is physical labor, right? I was in the labor's union for a long time, so I'm covered even if it wasn't, but, you know. He's talking about making sure that you are using your God-given gifts. I know you've been going through a series on spiritual gifts, right? And Dave's been teaching you. And like, put that to practice. Do that. Work. Serve with your gifts. That's going to be an important part of leading this quiet life for Jesus. Why? So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. We want people to come to Jesus. We don't need big, famous talking faces on screens. We need people behind the machines. We need people on the teams at work. We need people who are just serving Jesus, working hard with their gifts out in the public. And people will start to take notice and go, what are you about? What is this happening? Because this idea of winning the respect of outsiders is because you are living a respectable life, a life that people say, that's the type of life that I would like. The best way that the gospel spreads has often been under persecution when there's no famous face because the famous face will get cut off. It's through the work, and people are brave enough to speak the name of Jesus in places where they're not supposed to. But they do because people are asking them questions. Why do you live like this? And they just kind of say, Jesus. And they're like, oh, Jesus. And the seed gets planted. And then they become Christians. Other people become Christians. This is how the gospel pours out. It doesn't have to be flashy or loud. Think about it. We like quiet neighbors, don't we, for the most part? The loud ones banging the music till 3 a.m. in the morning, those are the ones that were not as happy. Those are the ones who are like, ugh. The quiet neighbors, the ones you can trust, that are there steady, you can rely on to help you out in a time of need, that's who we want to be. Now, I get it. You don't want to be too quiet. The really, really quiet neighbors, a little scary ones too, but no. We want to be that quiet, reliable person that someone looks at and goes, that person's solid. That person has something special. Their spiritual life is on point. I see it in how they live their regular life. You don't need to be famous or important for Jesus to use you. Now, of course, if you're naturally gregarious, you know, and a louder person, this isn't excluding you. He's not saying, oh, you're not quiet enough. Get quieter. He's just saying, live your life. Just be yourself. Live your regular life. It's about your ambition. Is your ambition to honor Jesus with your life? Because that's what it's all about. Whether you're a loud talker, a quiet talker, whatever you are, do you honor Jesus with your life? Do you bring glory to God? A great example in the Bible is the story of Andrew. I love Andrew because Andrew is, of course, he's an apostle, he has a famous name, he has some churches named after him stuff. But in the Bible, he's kind of relatively a lower key player. What is Andrew famous for? Bringing his loudmouth brother to Jesus. Right? Bringing Peter, you got to meet this guy. I really need you to meet Jesus. And Peter's like, whatever, I got things to do. I'm fishing hard and people like love how many fish I'm catching. I don't know. But this is Peter, right? He's just like, oh. And Andrew's like, hey, brother, please come with me. And finally he brings Peter to Jesus. And the story we know after that, right? Peter's always getting himself in trouble for being so loudmouthed and saying things. Get behind me, Satan, right? Like, but if it wasn't for Andrew being willing to take a second back seat to his brother, we wouldn't even be sitting here to this day. That quiet life of Andrew, that quiet faithfulness that loved his brother so much, he just wants him to meet Jesus even if he gets overshadowed. That is the life that we need to live. It wasn't about himself, it was about Jesus. Now, some of you know and heard, I'm a hip-hop musician. I've been doing hip-hop for a long time, since like 95. And I started off doing stuff here. When I was in England, you see in the photo behind me, we had a big crew. And when I was in England, like I had this dream of like, you know, becoming famous. And we got record deals. We had little indie deals here and there. We got some vinyl out and stuff. But I was like, oh, I'm going to become like famous rappers. And then I could serve Jesus and people will know Jesus because I'm a rapper rapping about Jesus really loudly and on TV. That's not what he wanted. I think Jesus knew, if I let you become a famous rapper, you're not serving me at all, right? You're going to be part of the train wrecks, right? That's not what he wanted. What he wanted me to do was to use hip-hop to lift him up, to quietly freestyle prayers with people, to write and translate the book of Habakkuk into raps so I could put that out that way, or to come alongside other musicians and help support them as they're growing in their careers. Like, that's what Jesus wanted for me. And that's actually beautiful. And that's okay, right? Instead of this idea of somehow you need to become famous to serve Jesus, it's like, hey, I give you this gift, I give you this passion, and you can use it to serve me. And it's okay if you live in obscurity. Let me ask you that. Are you okay if you toil for Jesus in obscurity? Using your passions. Just recently, Dr. Stan Fowler was a professor of mine at Heritage. And then a colleague eventually when I became a professor there. But I actually lived at his house for a couple of months. I felt sorry for his wife because I was just constantly battering questions. I can't imagine what dinner was like for her. She's like, I don't want to talk theology all the time. But he was a really amazing man because he didn't try to spread his name. He wrote a book on baptism and a couple other things. But his legacy was that he was just quietly teaching people about Jesus and training the next generation of pastors. That was his passion. I just want to help pour into next generation of pastors. And when I went to his funeral, I couldn't believe the room that was full, how full it was. Not only that, just the people that were in there. I'm like, these are all major pastors of big churches all around. And they all looked to him and were like, thank you. Like, I wouldn't be serving Jesus if it wasn't from your teaching. This quiet life that was lived that had so much influence for Jesus. But no one will remember the name and the, you know, the fame, famous books or all that. But the influence for Christ, I hope I could have that someday. So many pastors across this whole Ontario place, we need to focus on serving our people and helping them show Jesus rather than building up our own names. And I have people come to me and go like, that person, they just want to be famous, or right? Because people can tell, what are you trying to do? Are you about your own name or are you about Jesus' name? And this is the thing it says at the end, so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. This isn't saying you don't need a community. It's not saying that we all need community. You're made to be in community, right? What it means is that you don't need the recognition. You don't need that kind of motivation of being getting the likes. You have God. In order to fulfill, we just need to be expressing our image of God. That's all that we need to be doing. Your daily life can show Jesus. So how do we apply this? And I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, but I kind of three main things I want to point out. This is all about showing love, right? Remember, this is about how do we show our love? The first is show your love by living a quiet life, by being willing to not have your name blasted. That's an act of love, being willing to put yourself below and lift others up. Pride slips in when we want to be famous, right? Now, this isn't to say that we don't care about our reputations. I'm not saying, oh, it doesn't matter what people... No, your reputation matters. In fact, your reputation is what helps other people see Jesus. But your reputation should be that you are someone who lives for Jesus. That you live a quiet life for him. That you are demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. We need to be willing to live this quiet life. We need to be willing to live unknown if that's what God has for you. Just letting that go. Such a relief. Like, I don't need a big name. Now, of course, God does make some people famous. I'm not trying to say, you know, if you have a famous name, somehow that's bad. God raises people up. Paul himself, who's writing this, pretty famous name. And God does that, right? But this happened because he followed his own advice. And he lived like this. And then God lifted him up. To live is Christ. To die is gain. I would say a few people living quiet lives for Christ is much more powerful than a big famous name. Because God chose them to do this. That God wants to use you to show Christ. Chasing a name for yourself is probably one of the most arrogant. It's one of the least loving things you can do, right? Because you will betray people. How many people get betrayed by friends searching for a name? Look at a lot of the famous celebrities and stuff. You can look behind it. Sometimes you see like people who just kind of ditched, were used as rungs of the ladder to step up, right? This is the problem with the rat race. We start treating people like means to get to our end rather than images of God we're meant to love. It doesn't help us love each other to chase after names. I think it can hurt the church. How many of the fallen Christian leaders that we see and we breaks our heart, maybe they were chasing after their own name. They fell into the spell of just because I can imagine what it's like to have all these people looking at you and like, oh, and then kind of fawning over you, and right, and then you start to believe your own hype, and then the enemy loves to use that. Too many to count. We need to all be willing to lay down the desire for notoriety and be more concerned that Jesus is known in our society. The second thing is that we show love by minding our own business, by sticking to our own story. Busybodies are a problem in every community, right? We see this, they're on the sin list, gossip, slander, all this stuff. How many times is it listed in the New Testament? It is many times because it kills community. And this happens because, you know, if we're not using our God-given talents, we can start to pry into the lives of other people. Right? It's like, oh, I'm not, these people were not doing things, so they're just busy in other people's lives. Oh, what's Susie doing over there? Let's pray for Susie. Right. How about you just pray for Susie, then telling everyone to pray for Susie for this? When you hear the thing, pray for Susie. Don't spread it. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't or shouldn't talk to Susie about what's happening. Sorry, Susie, if you're in the crowd. I don't know. I'm just picking a name. You should talk to this person, right? Because we're told to go address them personally, one-on-one. Because we need to help each other through our hard times and our sin. It's not, if something comes to your attention, don't just ignore it, but definitely don't help everyone else explore it. Right? Mind your own business. You need to stay in your own lane. Don't spy and pry into the lives of others. Don't get involved in things that aren't your place. It's not easy. If you're a family who's going through turmoil, right? Something's happened and, you know, maybe your children are having drug problems or the marriage is an issue. And I mean, that's already really difficult, isn't it? The last thing you need is to hear about it spreading to the community. You're not loving the person this way, right? Mind your own business. Care and love for these people. I think it's such a powerful thing. Mind your own business. The Thessalonians, you know, had stopped working and doing their own thing, so now they had to get obsessed about everyone else's things. And this is, I was talking about gossip culture. Like, what's Kanye West doing today? What's he saying? It's a community killer. We just stop spreading things about other people in our lives. And this is how loving community starts to be formed. People notice how we talk about each other. You ever hear that? Like, if you have a community that starts talking around each other, everyone kind of notices that. Like, oh. So we, as the church, need to make sure that others hear how we talk about people, even the famous people as they fall. How do we talk about them? Are we loving those people and being gracious and say, I'm praying for them? Or do we get into the dirt, right? It's not easy. Final thing, show love by working diligently and depending on God alone. Working diligently, work with your own hands. You can love people by using your gifts. Work hard in your life. Don't get lazy. Don't let yourself kind of just fall back in this culture where we just like playing video games, watching TV, right? It's really easy to fall back. And this means like whatever you're doing, whether you're a student, whether you're a doctor, a musician, if you're working, you know, as a cashier, a courier, whatever it is that you're doing, work diligently for Jesus for that job. Work unto him. Do it for him. We have an epidemic of laziness, I think, in our culture. We just love relaxation so much. Now, I want to put a caveat on this. We got to be careful. This verse is sometimes used to attack people who are hurting and needy, right? Like, as if this is an attack on the homeless people or people who are unable to work because for legitimate reasons. We have to be really careful about that, okay? Because I want to point out, Christians have always helped the poor. They've always helped those who are in need. I mean, I found out, like, 1,600 years ago, they found that, like, the oldest nursing home in the world that's ever existed. And it's a Christian one, of course. Because we care about people who are in need, right? So it's not, this verse doesn't use as a hammer to hurt those who have legitimate issues with working, okay? What it's trying to say is, if you're able to, work for Jesus. Do your thing for Jesus. If you're in a place where you are able to use your gifts and your body for Christ, love Jesus with that. And people will notice because they'll see you at work and you're just working hard. I know when I worked at the labor's union, sometimes I was like, slow down, you're working too hard. You're going to work us out of a job. Right? Just show that you care, that you're doing this for Christ. It's not just for yourself. Paul is telling us that you show your love for Jesus by how you work. Work hard, contribute to society. Show the love of Jesus. God is the only one that we can depend on when we're healthy. Now, I want to give a kind of a story that kind of illustrates this. When I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, I was sitting down and just looking at the water in the morning. And the water kind of had, it was kind of just flittering like this, right? Those ripples. And I started seeing lights pop up, just like scintillation like this, like just little lights popping up, right? And I was just praying, Lord, like, what does this mean? And he kind of said to me, this is my church. You're one of those flashes of light. You're like a microsecond in the spectrum of history. And you reflect Christ. And you might be one of the little reflections, or you might want to be one of the big ones. But the beauty isn't the little individual flash of light off the water that's the ripple of the Holy Spirit moving throughout history. You are part of the beautiful community of Christ and all the lights together flashing. That shows Jesus. You're just one of the little lights. But each of those lights is supremely important to the big picture of the beauty of God's work in creation. You are one of those lights. You're meant to reflect Christ. You're part of the movement. You don't have to be the whole light to shine. Let yourself be one of those special little flashes along the water that shows who Jesus is. The church together is the beautiful thing. You together, Westside, is what shows Jesus the best. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will blow in times of revival, and I pray that what happens, and there's more lights at one moment. I just pray that we're entering a time like that, and you will experience that here. But the important thing is to let your life be a light for Christ, and that be the number one thing in your life. Live a quiet life. Mind your own business, and work hard for Jesus, and you will have done everything God would ever have wanted for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be lights that shine the light of Jesus Christ to our culture. May we let go of selfish ambition and replace it with an ambition to live lives that reflect Jesus. May we love one another. I just pray, Lord, that we would let go of desires for fame and let our desire be for your holy name. I pray that we would learn to mind our own business and look at what it is that we can do for you. And I pray that we would work hard using the gifts that you gave to us so that we could shine Jesus Christ and be a light to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.